Welcome to Outdoors with Dan Small and Judy Nugent, brought to you by LakeLink, your online fishing resource, on the web at lake-link.com. Well, Judy, New Year's is almost
here. Yes, time to start and turn over a new leaf, right?
A new leaf. Oh, are you going to do that? Do you have some resolutions?
Do I? Yes. There are some goals I've set for myself for the new year.
And you want to share them?
Well, the biggest one, of course, is the success of the radio show. You know, we're ready to take this big time.
Oh, yeah.
So I'm really looking forward to seeing this continue to grow. I mean, we almost, tripled stations in a six-month time. So I'm really looking forward to that. Of course, Outdoor Wisconsin's going very well. So
that's right. And the Outdoor Wisconsin Banquet coming up February 28th.
Yes. So this year I'll actually know what's going on and instead hopefully
of being
know some folks.
The deer in the headlights like last year?
Last year didn't quite know what hit me, but it was certainly a fun evening, and I recommend people go.
It's a great evening, and you know, we have plenty of tickets left. You can go to mptvfriends.org and actually order your tickets online.
Yeah, so that'll be a lot of fun.
Well, Judy, have you got any great holiday memories that you can share with us?
Holiday memories. God, well, one of the craziest trips I ever did was when I was in college. I was a freshman, and I went for spring break vacation.
Okay, down to the tropics somewhere?
Oh, one would hope, but no, I wasn't quite that educated, shall we say, that bright yet, or that affluent either. I couldn't afford the trip, but it just reminds me as, you know, winter's getting closer and closer, because my first trip, we were up in college up in Appleton,
right,
and we decided to take spring break in the UP.
What?
I know. Insane. Well, my friend had a cabin on a lake up there, and I thought, oh, I love going up north. Okay, we'll go up north, and it'll be nice. And, you know, I remember all these, you know, swimming and fishing and all that, not thinking it's going to be ice until May.
Yeah.
So it was really crazy. We went up there and went to the Bear Bar. Was one of the bars I remember because it had bears in the back.
Okay.
They're, like, caged in. This is many years ago. And everyone went from bar to bar on a snowmobile.
Well, sure. Oh, you went to the Bear in Winchester, Wisconsin.
I think it was near Presque Isle.
Yeah, no, that was in Winchester because that was Art LaHa's place.
Oh, you knew it.
Oh, yeah. He had he had a great big polar bear rug hanging on the on the wall.
Memories are a bit fuzzy, Dan.
We hunted with Art about that time, in fact.
Really?
Yeah, yeah.
Well, there's a small world.
Oh, yeah.
But it was brand new to me to see everybody zipping around. We went to we went on. You know, just to get out, because, of course, you know, the sun goes down at 4:20 or whatever. But we'd go driving around. We went to Iron Mountain, I think. Yeah,
sure.
Okay. And we went to the coast, the I forget what it was, some beach up there. There's nothing going on.
The beach? You kidding?
I know. It was some weird town. I can't remember. But, I mean, when you ask me crazy holidays, of course, for whatever reason, spring break pops into mind, and it just seems to fit the season.
Well, the nice thing about the UP and winter is you can do that kind of spring break vacation anytime from now right through May. So, hey, why not?
Hey, all right. Grab a snowmobile, and here we go.
Absolutely.
Take the bar tour.
Well, they do that, of course, throughout northern Wisconsin as well. You know, the main snowmobile trail that crosses my property outside of Washburn goes to the Seaside Tavern on Highway C and then on to Cornucopia. And
yeah, well, we go over to St. Croix in Gordon, the town of Gordon.
Oh, yeah.
And there's a place there. I think it's Adventureland Campground. Great folks. We stayed there a couple times. And right next to that is the ATV trail.
Mm-hmm.
And I think they double as snowmobile trails in the winter. And so they have all these signs.
Some do, yeah.
You know, going to this bar, that tavern, or this hotel. And they're right there on the trail.
And here we are, just before New Year's Eve, talking about snowmobiling and going from bar to bar.
Yeah,
so,
drinking, yeah.
Yes.
Mm.
Don't
so
do
be
this
responsible.
At home. Yes, absolutely. Snowmobile responsibly. Drive responsibly, have a designated driver,
right,
and stay home and watch the bowl games. That's what I'm
there you
do.
Go and we were responsible. I don't want to say we're total idiots, but
no, I'm sure you weren't. But you're still here, so
thank God. So but what do we have on this week's show?
Well,
I know it's kind of interesting.
It is time to look back and see what we've done in the past 6 months, and we thought we'd take a look at or take a listen to two of our favorite segments from the past, one with our good friend Warren Nelson,
who does
our theme music, and that one actually never aired on our broadcast stations. That was on our LakeLink webcast only.
Okay.
So we're going to to hear old Anglin Wayne talk about fishing and some of his other fun things.
And I think he catches a fish while we're talking
to
him.
Well, we'll see. That'll be we'll save some of the surprise for you. And speaking of LakeLink, we also want to talk with Steve Novak, who is with his brother Darren, the creator of LakeLink. And LakeLink has a new look, as a lot of folks know now, that for the last few months. And we talked to him just about the time that new look was coming on.
Mm-hmm. And then Big Al will be back. He's going to give us a recipe.
He's got a recipe for some special New Year's Eve dish. We won't give that one away. And I think you're going to talk with your friend Mike Thomas as well.
Yes, Mike Thomas will be on. He'll give us a fishing report from Minnesota. That's new. That's not an archive piece. And then we'll also have Richard Louvre back on. We kind of ended our conversation last time, and I didn't have a chance to ask him some more questions. So we're going to have him on again, ask some more questions. He's the author of Last Child in the Woods. So he's hopefully give us some ideas on how to get our kids outdoors.
Get the kids outdoors. That's right. And this week's giveaway is a pair of pies, actually, dinner and dessert from Dan and Judy, compliments of Big Al.
All right.
The Wild Game Gourmet. It's a pheasant pie and one of his absolutely scrumptilicious fruit pies, too.
Oh, cool. I hope it's a blueberry one. That's
fantastic. I'm not sure which one it's going to be, but we'll ship those to you. So to enter that drawing, you need to go to our page on LakeLink. That's lake-link.com/radio. And then on the left, it says contact Dan and Judy. Send us an email and tell us you want to enter the drawing. And if that doesn't work, because a couple weeks ago we had some email troubles, just send an email to dan@dansmalloutdoors.com, and we'll get it as well.
Dinner and dessert. I like it.
Yep.
Well, we got to take a break, but we'll be right back after this.
Hey, pheasant fans, Pheasants Forever's National Pheasant Fest is coming to the Iowa Event Center in downtown Des Moines, presented by Cabela's. For one big weekend, January 19th, 20th, and 21st, Iowa becomes the pheasant capital of the world. Check out all the attractions and seminars, dogs, puppies, and the bird dog bonanza. It's National Pheasant Fest, Friday, January 19th through Sunday, January 21st, at the Iowa Event Center in Des Moines. For more information, log on to nationalpheasantfest.org.
A friend of mine by the name of Michael Hupe is an attorney with the law firm of Hupe and Abraham, with offices in Milwaukee, Madison, and Appleton, Wisconsin, and in Illinois. In over 35 years of practice, they've represented tens of thousands of clients and collected hundreds of millions of dollars for them. If you've been injured in a car, motorcycle, or other type of accident, hire a powerful law firm with a proven record of large settlements. Hire Hupe and Abraham, Hupe.com, or 800-800-5678. More news, more information, more fishing. The new LakeLink has arrived.
If you've been fishing as long as we have, you'll really appreciate all that LakeLink has to offer. Log on and get all the latest fishing reports posted by fishermen just like you. LakeLink has been providing daily reports from the lakes and rivers you want to fish for over 10 years.
If you become a member of LakeLink, you'll have access to lake maps that you can customize. You can add rock bars, weed lines, and other structure that you find that are not on printed maps. And LakeLink will put GPS coordinates right on your map. You'll also be able to sell your used fishing gear at the online trading post and have fishing reports sent directly to your computer.
And coming soon, look for me, Judy Nugent, in the new women's section, offering tips and advice for women who love the outdoors.
You can also catch us, Dan and Judy, on the LakeLink radio page. That's lake-link.com, keyword radio. Listen to this week's show or catch any of our past shows. Send us your ideas and enter our weekly drawings for great giveaways, all on lake-link.com, keyword radio.
No Child Left Inside is brought to you by Balestrieri Environmental, working to assist their clients in reducing their exposure to environmental liability and hazards. Joining us once again is national author Richard Louvre, who's written a book entitled Last Child in the Woods. And we're very pleased that he's able to join us again this week and continue the discussion we were having about what we can do to get our children outdoors.
Many of our listeners, Richard, are hunters and fishermen, and so they have had contact with nature at least as long as they've been doing those sports. We encourage them to take their kids out and do these kinds of activities too. I'm just wondering if you have any advice for how to get kids off the couch, away from the video games or away from the asphalt.
Well, I grew up fishing, and so I take my sons, who are now 19 and 25 as of today, older one turned 25, I still take them fishing or go fishing with them now, but we grew up doing that, doing hiking and fishing. And I will be the first to admit that, like many parents, I had that sense of fear that limited their childhoods in terms of the free-range childhood that I had, they did not have. And I knew better because I'd seen the studies. And fear, by the way, I think is the number one reason that this disengagement with nature is happening. It's even more important than the electronics, even though the numbers say that the actual fear, the actual child abductions, et cetera, have actually been going down for the last decade. But the news media, the CNN, Fox, all you have to do is watch how they take a handful of terrible crimes against children, repeat them so often in an endless loop that we actually begin to believe that we should not let our kids out for a second.
So it's the parents' fear of what will happen to the kids at the hands of other adults, for the most part, not of, they're not afraid of what will happen in nature.
They do fear what will happen in nature increasingly, but it's mainly other people that they fear. What this means, and this gets to your question, I think, what this means is I'm not pretending that we're going to return to the 1950s anytime soon. In some places that may happen in terms of the freedom of children. But what it does mean is that as parents, as grandparents, we have to be very intentional about taking our kids into nature. We cannot just lecture parents and say, you know, get your kids outdoors, when they have that sense of fear. So because of that sense of fear, two things will have to happen. One is that parents will become much more intentional taking them outdoors. That's why fishing is so great.
Mm-hmm.
And hunting. It's a goal-oriented activity.
Right.
It's not passive. You actually go somewhere to do it.
Mm-hmm.
That's extremely important, that parents become more intentional about doing that. The second thing that will have to happen is that the organizations that help parents get their kids outdoors are going to become much more important. And by that I mean the nature centers, the scouting organizations, the fishing clubs. I mean, I belong to a fly fishing club in San Diego. It's supposedly the second or third largest fly fishing club in America, which is odd because we don't have any trout streams. most of the people in that club, and there are about 400 members, have gray hair.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that my son was the only young person there for years who came to almost every meeting. So these fishing clubs really have to be aware of what's happening. With fishing licenses are dropping, sales are dropping.
Mm-hmm.
This is about the future of not only nature itself, I mean, it's the most important thing, not only even the health of our kids, that's obviously terribly important, but secondarily, it's about the future health of these traditions that we hold so dear, like fishing.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I know we have the same problem in our Trout Unlimited chapter, where the membership is getting increasingly older, and we're having trouble with the recruitment. And I love this quote that you have in, which I think kind of encapsulates the problem. A fourth grader in San Diego said, "I like to play indoors better, because that's where all the electrical outlets are."
Yeah, and that's what I heard from kids in different words all over the country. I should say here, by the way, that there is a lot of hope. That the odd thing is that in the last year and a half, since the book came out, a kind of movement has emerged. All over the country, regions are coming together. Unlikely allies are getting together, from the Junior League to the conservation groups, to nature centers, to businesses, and they're deciding to turn this around. They're deciding to figure out ways to get kids directly connected to nature. And that's happening all over the country. In fact, on Thanksgiving Day, USA Today had a front page story about the emerging Children in Nature movement.
Mm-hmm.
But really, it's not going to be up to Washington organizations. It's not going to be up to a handful of conservation groups, as important as they are. It's really going to be up to the grassroots to turn this around, and that's beginning to happen.
Well, that's good to hear. Well, Richard, you and I both grew up at a time when it was a lot safer to be outdoors in nature, and I spent my childhood in back lots and fields behind the house, flipping over rocks and collecting snakes and doing all kinds of fun things, and I'm guessing that you did too.
Well, that's right, and I think that's a good issue to bring up. People think, well, do we have to take our kids to Yosemite or the great woods of Canada or something in order to get them outdoors. Those things are great experiences, but actually some of the most important experiences are in what the experts call nearby nature. And mm-hmm. by that I mean, you know, the clump of trees at the end of the cul-de-sac, the mm-hmm. ravine behind the house. To adults, those may seem insignificant, but to a child it can be the whole universe. And those places are important and need to be treated that way.
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah, I grew up with, see you later, Mom. She'd say, well, be back for dinner, hon. You know, and then she'd ding this bell. We had this big bell in the backyard. And she'd ring it and ring it and ring it. My brother, we'd either never hear it or just ignore it and not come home. And, you know, I don't have a bell for my children, and maybe I need one.
That's good.
Well, Judy, why weren't your folks afraid of what you and your brother might get into? Because there were two of you?
I don't know. I think, like you say, it's the generation. They grew up in the outdoors. We ran around and played outside. You know, no one wanted to be inside. You did chores. Mm-hmm. You wanted to be outside where you're free and you run around. And but I am a bit of a suburban mom myself, worried, you know, where is that child abductor down by the park?
Yeah.
All the moms in my neighborhood are supervising their 9-year-olds at the park. And, you know, where other moms let their first graders roam free and they get kind of scorned by the neighborhood. And so, you know, what Richard's talking about, this social movement and how society views kids unattended, unsupervised, outside, whether it's the trees at the end of the cul-de-sac or the forest preserve in the backyard, there is a social, I don't know if we call it a problem, but a social issue here that needs to be addressed, like he said, on the grassroots level, mm-hmm. one suburban neighborhood at a time.
Is that what it's going to take, Richard?
Well, I think so. And it's these regional movements, again, I think are very important. Chicago, I know, I was just speaking in Chicago, and I know Chicago Wilderness is a great organization
that's
moving in this direction. There are very few issues that actually bring us together. One of the things that I've learned is it doesn't matter what somebody's politics or religion is. They all want to tell me about the treehouse they had when they were kids.
Sure, mm-hmm. sure.
And they all have a real sense of pain to think that they might be in the last generation to have that kind of experience, that kind of attachment to nature. They don't want that to end.
Well, and something else I want to bring up and mention, I really enjoyed the science that you paired and the research you had in your book when you were writing it. And some of the information you're talking about patients in hospitals and how if they had a window that looked out on nature, they were able to recover that much faster than someone who didn't, who perhaps looked at a parking lot. And that generally we're talking about kids, but, I mean, there's hard science about the health and everything from adults and kids.
Well, there is. And the mystery is why it has this effect, very measurable positive effects. Why is that? We don't fully understand that.
Well, it may be a mystery why, and it may be, you know, hypothetical. There may be some hypothetical explanations for why we have a connection with nature, but I think that anyone who has spent a lot of time outdoors can certainly say, I don't know why, but I know it's true that I feel better when I'm outside. I know that's true for me.
And that's kind of the bottom line. And so many causes and movements, et cetera, are kind of based on a sense of giving up something, that, you know, the kind of eat your peas approach to environmentalism, for instance.
Mm-hmm.
And this issue is not that way. I mean, I was surprised when I first started going out with the book to bookstores and all that, to the groups that would come hear me talk, that people were not leaving depressed. You know, I'm a journalist. I'm used to depressing people. And they were not. There's something intrinsically hopeful about this issue. And I think if the bottom line is that we know we can do something about this one. And secondly, it makes us feel better when we go outside. No matter who we are, we end up feeling better. We come home from those woods or that fishing trip, and we feel better. It's renewing. So, again, this is not a bitter pill.
Well, Richard, you're preaching to the choir here. I'm sure you realize that. But I want to thank you so much for joining us this week. I'm hoping that you will be willing to be on again. I want to let our listeners know the book again is Last Child in the Woods, Saving Our Children from Nature Deficit Disorder by Richard Louvre, and it is a must read. So, Richard, thank you so much for joining us.
Oh, well, thanks. Thanks for what you do.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
No Child Left Inside is brought to you by Balestrieri Environmental, working to assist their clients in reducing their exposure to environmental liability and hazards.
This next segment is brought to you by Hupe and Abraham, a powerful law firm with a proven record of large settlements.
And joining us, as promised, is Englund Wayne.
How are they biting?
Well, they're biting just fine. They're a little bit slow. I never did understand the mind and heart of the crappie clan, but seems like it started off slow this morning. But then for a half an hour, everybody gets hungry.
Uh-huh.
And I can only have one line, you know, at a time. I just get too confused otherwise. So they're quieted down again now, but I got my pails half limited up here.
Well, that's good. I'm glad you got a chance to talk to us. For listeners who don't know that Englund Wayne is also Warren Nelson, I'm sure some folks are recognizing your voice there, Warren. Warren is the host of Tent Show Radio and the creator and the heart and soul behind Big Top Chautauqua up in Bayfield. Now, I introduced your music to Judy, and I'm sure I introduced it to a lot of viewers, or listeners rather, who've never heard Trolling Home to You or Nice Fish or some of those other tunes. But
I love it.
Well, I carried the idea around in my bait bucket for 25 or 30 years before I actually sat down and wrote them. It was going to be a six-pack of fishing songs first. It ended up being a 12-pack. Now I think I'm heading towards the case.
Well, we've got a selection of your 12-pack, Englund Wayne and the Trollers, and we play some of those tunes at the head and tail of the show. We hope folks like them and go check out your website.
I appreciate that.
Now, how'd you get the idea to write fishing songs?
Well, I grew up on a small lake in southern Minnesota, and, you know, and I'm a guitar player, songwriter, and I don't know, just it's like all of a sudden you're trolling around for ideas, and you get a hit, you get a whack, and boom, you know, I mean, that's actually mm-hmm. how things happen with me with no matter what the subject of songs.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, you know that one song, Nice Fish, that has got to be a real spoof on TV fishing shows, and maybe mine along with Bill Dances and Roland.
Oh, definitely. Well, if you notice, I was watching TV Saturday afternoon, sure. And 90% of the time, it's perfect, and it's what everybody says too. I mean, even if people who aren't in the fishing show, Nice Fish.
Yeah.
Oh, I got a little bite here.
You got a bite?
Right. Oh. These crappies are light-lipped.
Yeah, you got to be careful. What are you using there?
I use a little steel jig head and a crappie minnow live bait and then one of those little balsa floats.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm only in about a foot deep here because I'm right up on the bank.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
They're in shallow.
You're on Secret Lake, aren't you?
I'm on a little river kind of waterway between two lakes right now, and uh-huh. I ain't going to tell you where that is.
Yeah, well, of course not, yeah. Hey, listen, my friends really enjoyed your show the other night, and especially Jeff Kahlo, big guy. You getting some mileage out of those hats we made for you?
Oh, yeah, we just played a school show in the morning and for about 800 fourth and fifth graders. Man, they just yelled in with Nice Fish, and we wore the hats. Uh-huh. They think some of them knew that they were made here in Fond du Lac.
I'm sure they
did. Big guy hats. Yeah. So it was pretty hilarious. We'll be putting those on stage in my musical River Pants.
Excellent.
Yeah.
Now, River Pants, that's what I've started to call waders now. When I put on my waders, I say I'm putting on my River Pants. But
we actually, you know, I mean, obviously the pimp on River Dance.
Sure.
But we actually have guys and gals in waders dancing to Irish music with
I gotta
smoke
see this.
And everything. It's just, you know, but as soon as that idea came to me, the whole other show was born. And
uh-huh.
It's just, and, you know, There's a lot of interest in fishing these days. You know that.
Oh, yeah. Well, we got to get Judy up to Big Top Chautauqua. We're going to be taping some outdoor Wisconsin shows up north this summer, and I hope we can time it so that we can get her over to River Pants.
Got to do it.
Yeah. Now, you've got something of a fishing addiction, don't you? You and I were talking about that the other night.
Well, the problem is, you see, I'm my own boss, and lots of times when I have work ahead of me, I need counseling. Like, you know, people, maybe some people drink too much, some people have a gambling problem. It's like it happened to me 3 days ago. I had a lot of work to do, had a report to get done, and I just stopped by because I saw 10 or 15 people fishing this little creek, and I figured something's happening. So, well, I always carry my rods in my car, got my bait, you know, I get ice cubes every day, I change the water, I travel with minnows. And so I start to fish in the morning, and I'm out there, and 1 hour goes by, and they're not biting. Then they start biting. Then I catch a 2-3 foot catfish, and then the crappies are biting again, and pretty soon, you know, it's 5 o'clock. I've had a great day. I've had great conversation. I'm in the sweet spring outside, but I get home at night. I lay down, try to go to sleep, and I feel guilty. I feel bad. I didn't do my work. I'm confused. That's when I need a fishing counselor.
Mm-hmm. You know,
would that be you, Dan?
I don't know. I got the same problem. My wife thinks that that I do that too much myself.
It's a problem. I would make a great retired person. Mm-hmm. Yeah, you know, I can't believe people would say I'm retired. What do?
Yeah, right.
Duh.
Now there's a thought for another song for you, Life with Minnows. Have you thought about that, or Traveling with Minnows?
Well, you know, I have that, but I did, you know, I did ask our cello player to compose the minuet.
Right, and that's a great piece.
It really ended up being something. I'm trying to get Ed to get it scored for orchestra, because he does a part in the song where he, you know, he goes, he puts his head up kind of at attention like minnows do when something happens.
Mm-hmm.
And if you saw like 85 people in the orchestra do that, would that be good?
That would be cool.
That
I
would
think.
Be a school of orchestra
yeah,
players.
Yeah. Well, I appreciated his introduction when he said he really took your challenge to create a minuet to heart, because he didn't want it to be just another solo cello piece in a fishing show, you know, so a run-of-the-mill unaccompanied cello piece
I got the idea for this show, whenever we do this, I mean, it's just, I don't know, some things are just clear, pure fun and the right thing to do. And the old phrase, you know, this old common one, you know, work is for people that don't know how to fish.
Oh, well, that's absolutely true.
God likes me when I work, but he loves me when I fish. That's maybe what I have to remember on those days when I... But see, I'm my own boss, and that's the problem there.
Yeah, well, but that's counseling in itself right there. I think you just solved your problems if you listen to your own advice.
But
you know that there is a serious message there, as you just hinted.
Yep.
And there's a theme that comes through in all of your shows and all of your lyrics, protecting and respecting the resources. I mean, one of the reason you guys live up north, is it not? Because it's so beautiful up there. I've always wondered, you guys are some of the best musicians in the country. I mean, I'm not kidding, and you know that. Don Pavel is probably one of the best flat pickers. You name two flat pickers better. I can't, other than Doc Watson in his prime, quite honestly.
I can't either. And it goes with our fiddle player, cello, and our singers. And we ended up there because we're just attracted to that place. It's such wealth to be able to just be there and live there. And, you know, I think sometimes that people just forget that the permission for everything we do, everything we are, from what we think about religion and eternity and everything and our fun and how we sustain ourselves with water and everything comes from the earth and the waters. I mean, you know, but I'm very encouraged now to see I don't know what we would say, people on the left side of the political spectrum have always been, I would say, more environmentally concerned immediately, but now people on both sides of the political fence, that may not be saying it right, are really understanding, you know, hey, if we want to hunt, if we want our children to hunt, we have to have a place to hunt, and we have to have a place for these critters to live and exist with or without us. And those are some wide spaces needed, and the planet's not getting any less populated, is it, Dan?
No. And again, that's a message that comes through in your music, I think, and it's... been a big part of my enjoyment of Wisconsin. And you did our theme song for Outdoor Wisconsin 22 years ago.
I never did it. I've never written a better string full of lyrics than that piece. I'll tell you, I mean that. I don't know how it happened, but it happened. I'm glad.
Yeah.
Can I give my website, Dan?
Absolutely.
Hey, Warren Nelson, NELSON.com. That's my personal one. And then the big top is bigtop.org.
Yep.
And by the way, a comedian named Willie Miles.
Oh, yeah.
Have you heard Willie?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I heard Willie on Ten Show Radio. Yeah.
Talk about hilarious. You know, I mean, I thought about your show, too, when I thought about Willie, because he's recruited from Alabama to come up to play football in Minnesota, but now he's ingrained in the North Country. But just the observations, you know, of, you know, like his ice.
Yeah.
My favorite thing was all those ice houses out on the lake. He goes out there, and this guy, take about, he's never seen such a thing, and his first thought is, man, these people are really poor.
Yeah.
Look at how much parking lot there is out here.
Yeah.
Is this a parking lot for the blind? Yeah. I don't want to tell these people, but they take me to their houses. Man, I thought I come from the South. I thought, man, these people are poor.
They live in these little bitty houses out in the middle of the nowhere. Yeah.
You know, what, can an hour of that nonstop laughter?
Yeah, yeah. And now a lot of those shows from the Big Top are actually on Tent Show Radio. And that's heard nationwide, isn't it?
Yeah, we're lucky enough to be on the air and get permission from these traveling artists to record them and edit them into 55-minute shows, and they broadcast to Wisconsin Public Radio and the Ideas Network at 9 o'clock on Saturday nights and other assorted places like Boston, Williamsburg, Virginia, and New Mexico, and Arizona, and Florida, and around Chicago, Michigan, Minnesota, around the country. So, and it's an in-concert show, but a lot of talking and goofing going on there from under the big canvas.
Yeah.
And I am a man of the cloth, you know.
The blue striped cloth.
Yeah, I am.
Well, listen, Warren, it's been great. I hear some splashing in the background.
Wait a minute. I got to put this phone down. I'm getting ready to put two lines down here. I got a bobber underwater, Dan.
All right.
I'll see you.
Okay, well, thanks a lot for talking to us.
All right.
Yeah, nice
that
fish there.
Was brought to you by UP and Abraham, a powerful law firm with a proven record of large settlements.
Here's to you, fish. Under the water, here's to one and all the billions of your sons and daughters. And look at all the expensive, goofy tackle I bought. Hope you never get swallowed and you never get caught. I don't know why I fish sometimes. I guess I want to see who's at the other end of the line. Nice fish, they all say, as you swim away. TV Saturday. Nice fish. Nice fish. Nice fish. Nice fish. Must be nice there under the ice. Everybody needs some downtime down deep. You fish down there. Hope you got enough air. Up above through the holes. Looky who stares. Ice fish and persons are a crazy breed. Inch of frozen water is all they need. Get some out of one house and into another. 3 or 4 months all day. Nice fish.
A friend of mine by the name of Michael Hupe is an attorney with the law firm of Hupe and Abraham, with offices in Milwaukee, Madison, and Appleton, Wisconsin, and in Illinois. In over 35 years of practice, they've represented tens of thousands of clients and collected hundreds of millions of dollars for them. If you've been injured in a car, motorcycle, or other type of accident, hire a powerful law firm with a proven record of large settlements. Hire Hupe and Abraham, hupe.com, or 800-800-5678.
This next segment is brought to you by Wern Valley Sportsman's Club, a hunting tradition since 1848, on the web at wernvalley.com. Well, joining us today to give us a Minnesota fishing report and enlighten us in general is guide Mike Thomas from BigPikeMike.com and Big Pike Mike Guide Service. And Mike, you were on a couple of months ago, and you were telling us all about muskie fishing. And I wanted to ask you about the different strains of muskie, because we kind of didn't get time to talk about that.
Sure, Judy. Just to preface, I'm certainly no biologist, but one of the things as an angler that I do in the off season is really do research and pay attention to what's happening in my fisheries and what exactly it is that I'm targeting. In Wisconsin and Minnesota, we have primarily three strains of muskies. The Leech Lake strain is becoming the most predominantly stocked fish in Minnesota and Wisconsin, primarily due to size. And then we also have the Wisconsin strain muskies, which are a clear phase or a barred or striped phase, where the Leech Lake strain is more of a spotted fish.
Mm-hmm.
The leeches are becoming predominantly stocked primarily because of they reach a more attainable, catchable size at a much faster rate than the Wisconsin strain muskies do, generally get bigger overall, and spawn in different locations than standard or Wisconsin strain muskies do.
Okay.
Typically, what they're finding out, according to the research that I've done, is kind of off the reach of the young northern pike, which are one of the primary predators as a young fry.
Did you hear about the 50-pound muskie caught in the Eagle River area?
I did.
What do you think?
That's a tremendous fish, and you know, very long lived for a Wisconsin strain fish.
Sure. Now, have you gotten out to do any fishing lately?
You know, Judy, I have actually. I was on the up here. Our ice conditions are kind of going south in a hurry with the warm weather, so we've taken advantage of getting the boat back out and heading down to Pool 4 down on the Mississippi River near Red Wing, Minnesota.
All right, and let me guess, walleyes.
Walleyes and saugers. It's a there's a kind of a year-round vertical jig bite that goes on for the saugers, which is pretty typical below a lot of the flowages and the dams in the state of Wisconsin.
Mm-hmm.
And in the evening, what we like to do is pitch light jigs up to the shoreline structure and catch walleyes on the cast. And overall, it wasn't a bad weekend. We didn't net as many walleyes as we had hoped, but we did do pretty well on the saugers.
Are you tipping the jigs?
We are. We're tipping them for vertical jigging. We're typically tipping them with a fathead, and then in the evening, because of the structure we like to fish, we typically fish plastics. They tend to move better through the rock structure and through the wood, and you get hung up a little bit less because they swim a little bit better. So we fish plastics and sometimes scent them.
Okay. Have you ever heard of willow cats?
I have.
I think they're illegal in Wisconsin, but...
You know, they fish them a lot on the border waters, particularly Pool 4. Earlier in the year is when they're typically available. I believe they're a mad tom catfish is what they are. They're just a smaller little version of a bullhead.
Okay.
They're deadly. And the guys who fish with them swear by them, and when a bait shop has them in stock, the word gets out fast.
Yeah, I've heard them referred to as willow crack because the walleyes like them so much.
They do, and like I said, I've fished them once or twice, but some walleye anglers that I know that time of the year swear by them. A lot of tournaments are won on willow cats in the Mississippi.
So what's a good size walleye there in Pool 4?
Pool 4 kicks out some really terrific fish. That's one of the attractions of it. You know, it's arguably, you talk to anglers and fisheries people, and it's arguably one of the best walleye fisheries in the country, both for numbers and for size. And regularly, I would say on a weekly basis, anglers are catching walleye up to 30 inches and 10 pounds, and I've seen photographs of fish up in the 12, 14-pound range.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, it kicks out a lot of big fish. There's a great forage base. It's a year-round fishery. It's open year-round, so it has the availability to fish the walleyes during all the different seasons. So a guy who's really in tune with walleye angling can follow these fish and mm-hmm. target them on a year-round basis.
Now, why are they so big? Is there a slot or...?
No, there's no slot down there. I think the minimum size on them is 15. But to be honest with you, I never really keep any.
Okay.
We just go down and fish them for sport. But my best guess would be the forage base. It's an incredibly rich environment down there. The Mississippi in that area has a lot of backwaters. There's an enormous amount of in the backwaters. There's going to be an enormous amount of minnow life as well as bluegills, crappies, and your typical kind of Mississippi River backwater species. So
mm-hmm.
I think it really comes down to the forage base. It's a healthy, healthy water system.
Sure, sure.
Mm-hmm.
But I bet you're looking forward to trout season because I know you do a lot of guiding.
There's no doubt. This is kind of a time of the year that I tend to get a little bit surly with not being able to spend time on the water. But we do, you know, I will be taking advantage as long as the weather holds out. We take advantage of Southern Minnesota's open season, which comes up after January 1st.
Uh-huh.
And we have winter trout fishing in southern Minnesota. So on days like today where we've got a sunny sky and, you know, 38, 40 degrees, there'll be a number of anglers down there fishing on a day like today. And the trout bite surprisingly well in the winter.
Oh, I know that. Yeah. With some of the nice days we've had in the past, it's like, oh, I wish I could fish western Wisconsin, but of course it's not open until March. So
no kidding. It's always a tough time of the year for a fly angler. A lot of guys right now are tying flies and getting their gear together and thinking about, you know, spring fishing, which the way that this winter's been, with as mild as we've had, it's, you know, once we get through January 1st, it's just around the corner till March.
That's right.
Mm-hmm.
Well, Mike, thank you so much for giving us a report and educating us about the muskie there. And if people want to book you for a trip, they should go to bigpikemike.com, right?
That's correct.
All right. Thanks, Mike. We'll talk to you later.
Have a great day.
That segment was brought to you by Wern Valley Sportsman's Club, a hunting tradition since 1848, on the web at wernvalley.com.
Well, Judy, most listeners know that our show is also on Lake Link, mm-hmm. lake-link.com. And, of course, we started on LakeLink.
Oh, yeah. Well, it was an excellent resource. I've been using it for years. I mean, years and years. And then we were at the sports show, and we saw their new look demoed. And we thought, wow, this would be such a great way to reach anglers in the state in the upper Midwest. And, we'll wonder if they'd consider radio.
And they certainly did. And there's a new look to LakeLink now.
Yes. Really sharp.
Lots of changes. And we have the gentleman who's largely responsible for those changes on the line, Steve Novak. Now, you've put in a lot of sleepless nights lately getting LakeLink's new look up and getting your new family started, I understand. You have a new baby.
Oh, yes. About 3 weeks ago, 3.5 weeks ago, we had our first baby daughter came into the family. So wow. We're really excited.
Congratulations.
Well, thank you.
Well, tell us about the changes in LakeLink.
Well, as the growth of LakeLink, we kind of had to redo things to accommodate all the traffic and new information that LakeLink was receiving. So basically, we just did a total redesign from top to bottom down, and it has all the same features as the old site does, but we've added just a lot of new features and a lot more information to the new website.
What are those new features?
Well, other than just a lot more educational information, we've expanded, you know, just from how-tos from everything related to fishing on there. We've expanded that area. We made the site more user-friendly, easier to use, and probably one of the largest additions we've added to the site is we added a interactive mapping feature available to our members on our website. And what this is basically the users will be able to log in, the members will be able to log in and pull up right around with 1,000 maps for Wisconsin.
Hmm.
And they can pull them right up inside their web browser. There's no special software needed or anything. It's actually, the application's all online. They can browse around the lakes. They can take their mouse and get GPS coordinates for any spot on the body of water just by hovering their mouse over that spot. They can customize their maps by dragging icons on there. So if they know a nice little weed bed or rock hump, they can drag weed or rock icons onto the map. And then save them back to the website, and so they can access them from any computer in the world.
Hmm.
Yeah, Steve, I think that's one of the neatest features on the site is the ability to customize maps. Are people really taking advantage of that?
Yes, they are. We've had just some great feedback from it, and we're only going to continue to grow this side of the website. We're currently in the processes right now of getting Illinois maps prepared to launch online, and then we're going to be launching. Next step is Michigan, and the next step after that is Minnesota, and then there are other states in the Midwest as well.
Of course, the real reason people go there are the fishing reports. How many members or users do you have in a given month?
Well, the fishing report is probably one of the main draws to the website. Right now we're averaging over a million visits a month. It's been growing. It's been growing steadily. So it's going to be an exciting year once we, you know, really start making a push with promoting this new site and the new map application to see where those numbers go from there.
Oh yeah, because I mean every time I click onto a lake I'm going to visit or a hotspot that I like to fish, the reports. I mean there's hundreds of reports. You know, that from guys that have been on the water at the spot, and they tell you what lures they're using. They have pictures of the fish they've caught.
Mm-hmm. And the neatest, what really sets LakeLink apart that I firmly believe is that it's the sheer dynamic aspect of the website. Literally, the information change every minute. There's more information on the website, and it's provided by anglers like you and I that love to fish and exchanging information. And that's the attractant. You're always getting current information. It's not something that's been sitting there for months and months and months.
That's absolutely right. Well, listen, Steve, we appreciate your taking the time to talk to us. And, of course, people can listen to our show on LakeLink, and they can find all the features of LakeLink just by going to your website, lake-link.com.
Well, thank you very much for having me on the show.
All right. Take care.
I spent a lot of time in the great outdoors, and I found that nothing cooks better or faster than a Camp Chef modular cooking system. It's great for cooking, grilling, frying, or even smoking. And these heavy-duty kitchens are built to go anywhere. Plus, if your power goes out, they're perfect as an emergency kitchen. Want to make a good thing that much better? Try customizing your Camp Chef kitchen with a complete line of accessories. So if you want high performance from a great portable kitchen, make Camp Chef your choice for great outdoor meals.
Camp Chef's lineup of outdoor cooking gear can help you prepare great meals outdoors anytime, anywhere. Slow smoke ribs in the smoke vault on a lazy afternoon. Get camp meals done fast and tasty with an Explorer stove. And be the envy of every other tailgater at the game using the big gas grill. Camp Chef, the way to cook outdoors. Now in your neck of the woods at Cabela's, Dick's, Gander Mountain, Lowe's, Mills Fleet Farm, Sportsman's Warehouse, and other fine outdoor retailers. Well, it's time once again for the Camp Chef Cooking Corner, brought to you by Camp Chef, the way to cook outdoors, on the web at campchef.com. And Judy, we have Big Al, the wild game gourmet, one more time this year. Big Al, how are you celebrating New Year's?
Well, Dan, one of the special treats we love around the New Year's holiday is our family gets together and we cook up a big old pot of oyster stew.
That sounds good.
And the way we make that is what you want to do is get a gallon of whole milk. And I know a lot of people don't like to use whole milk, but skim milk just don't work in oyster stew.
It's the holidays. We leave the calorie counting until next week.
You got to dive in and plunge once in a while.
Yep.
And what I do, the first thing you want to do is get about a pound of shucked oysters.
Mm-hmm.
And you put them in a frying pan. Now, I'll put a whole stick of butter in there.
Sure.
And I'll cut up some finely chopped onions and a tad bit of celery, just to add a little bit of flavor. And then put, you know, a pleasurable amount of salt and pepper. And what I like to do is just cook it up, let it get golden brown, and let your oysters cook thoroughly. And in the meanwhile, I got a pot of whole milk simmering on the stove. Now, you want to be very careful because milk can burn, and it burns very easily. So what you want to do is just keep stirring it. It takes a little bit of time, but that's the way to do it. And then just take all your ingredients, your oysters, your butter, the whole thing that's in that skillet, and scrape all the goodies right into that soup. And just let her simmer, and then you want to finish it off when you're done with a little bit of parsley or chopped chives. Works really good. And you'll have a wonderful dish for the holidays and something that you'll savor forever and all day long.
Oh, yeah. I want to get a big loaf of crusty bread and dip it in there.
Yes.
That'd be delicious.
Wonderful.
All right. Well, thank you for that great New Year's Eve tip, and that's a great way to ring in the new year, Al.
You too, Dan, and you, Julie, have a safe New Year's and lots of fun.
All right. You too.
We'll talk to you again soon.
Bye-bye.
That was Big Al, the Wild Game Gourmet, with another easy cooking recipe on the Camp Chef Cooking Corner, brought to you by Camp Chef, the way to cook outdoors, on the web at campchef.com.
And speaking of Big Al, don't forget this week's giveaway is dinner and dessert, compliments of Big Al. And if you want to enter that, go to LakeLink, keyword radio, say contact Dan and Judy and say, hey, I want those pheasant pie and fruit pie, and Big Al will ship those to you. So, but Dan, do you have any New Year's resolutions you're making?
New Year's resolutions. Well, you know, my perennial annual New Year's resolution is to clean up my office.
All right.
And honest. One of these years I'm actually going to do it.
Wonder what you'll find at the bottom.
That's a good question, yeah. I don't know. How about you?
I'm going to catch more fish.
There you go.
That's what I'm going to do.
Absolutely.
Hopefully get a boat this summer, get out there. I want to try some new techniques, some new styles. I haven't done certain styles of trolling. Maybe get to Lake Erie.
Mm-hmm.
Those are some things that I think are immediate that I can accomplish.
Okay.
So I know it sounds kind of weird, but...
No, that's a good goal. A good goal. Lake Erie's a great goal.
And what's on Outdoor Wisconsin this week?
Well, coming up on the first show of the new year.
All right.
Judy Nugent hunts doves.
Ooh.
With Todd and Mike Kapp of the Wisconsin chapter of the Dove Sportsman Society.
Boy, talk about No Child Left Inside. Watch that segment. It's going to be cool.
Lots of kids out there chasing doves. They make good bird dogs, don't they?
Cute ones, too.
Yeah. And I'll be talking with folks at the Wisconsin State Sporting Clays Championship that was held at Wern Valley Sportsman's Club in August. And Tom Neubauer fishes for panfish on Oconomowoc Lake. So
cool.
Three good segments.
Okay. Well, I think we're running out of time for today's show.
I think we are. So happy New Year to you, Judy, and happy New Year to all our listeners out there. Have a great and prosperous New Year.
Stay safe.
You've been listening to Outdoors with Dan Small and Judy Nugent, brought to you by LakeLink, your online fishing resource on the web at lake-link.com. This is a production of Dan Small Outdoors, LLC. Theme music by Warren Nelson. Copyright 2006, all rights reserved. Thanks for listening.